Welcome to the How to Hide a Dead Body podcast. My name is Patrick Gilbert. I'm the executive director at Adventure Media Group. With me, as always, is our content manager, Danielle Immerman. And joining us today is one of our team members, Andrew Keegman. This is a podcast where we talk about marketing, advertising, business consulting, and other topics related to career growth, or really anything that's just kind of top of mind happening at the agency. Andrew joins us today to talk about his journey so far in his career, particularly with Adventure Media Group. Andrew is one of our more junior team members, and from day one has sort of been pioneering his own path in a way that's just been super interesting and incredible to witness. And I think everyone can learn a great deal from the way Andrew has approached his new role, and it's certainly an entertaining one. Andrew, how's it going, man?
Patrick, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on board today. I'm really excited to speak my mind about this specific topic and in general.
So what is it about this topic in general that excites you? I mean, we talked about having you on, and generally when we're going to do something like this, we want to set the stage and say, you know, what interests you? What do you want to talk about? So overall, this topic about like how you got here and what you've been working on is sort of broad, but what really about this is exciting, or why you think it's a unique angle that you're going to be able to discuss here?
So the main reason I wanted to talk about it was because it was kind of a unique way of getting here. There wasn't traditional, okay, I'm applied to one job and then let's just work from there. In a sense, it was kind of a journey with different steps and challenges along the way to get here. So I think it would be helpful for people listening who are either involved in the job process out of college or thinking about maybe shifting roles, or just are interested in people's stories about their success stories.
When you were coming toward the end of your college career, you had the added wrinkle of being of graduating at the beginning of a pandemic. But I guess even before that whole started, like what did it look like between the, okay, here's what I want to major in, here's what I want to study in school, to here's the kind of career that I want, here's the actual jobs, the individual jobs and companies that I want to go after?
So I think the answer to that question, I would take like one step back. With in the beginning of my college career, I was dead set on working in a real estate brokerage company. I loved the idea of sales and the hustle of finding different companies that needed office space. I worked at an office leasing company, and then I kind of wanted to mature into an investment sales broker, which found different multifamily apartments and work into that regard. So after my sophomore year in college, I had a job at a real estate company. It wasn't your traditional real estate company. It was a startup real estate company that dealt with pop-up shops, which are short-term retail leases. I was working on the landlord partnership team, where we had to find specific spaces that they weren't getting a full 12-month tenants. So what they were trying to find is 2 or 3 months short-term pop-up shops dealing with a lot of different really cool interactive brands to try to find their space. So my specific role in that regard was only really to find the clients the space that was desired, but there was an outcome that was really, really different. This is my first exposure to understanding really how brands market themselves with different website design and influencer marketing and pop-up shops and really giving lifestyle to the brand itself, which really piqued my interest to want to understand how do brands work under what nuances, their value propositions and all the kind of fun stuff which marketing like adds to the brand. And it's that's what led me to being in my marketing major, which then brought me down the path of wanting to pursue some sort of marketing role, where as either a brand consultant or some sort of agency role where I'm interacting with brands on a daily basis.
Interesting. So now you work for a small agency in a pretty niche corner of the overall marketing realm. We don't do that sort of experiential marketing that you're describing. You know, we're not hired by Red Bull to go and put on a crazy event or a pop-up shop. But so you sort of do something that's very different from that. What brought you here?
So specifically, I think after I the learnings of like what advertising and marketing is in relation to like a brand story and brand alignment. There's a lot there that I didn't know, which I guess over education and personal learning, I kind of understood more how clients work and how these brands work. And I wasn't necessarily interested in the active experiential marketing as you were talking about. This kind of led me to the general overview of like how exciting brands are with new strategies and technology, which led me to wanting to work specifically in e-commerce and not necessarily only digital marketing, but have that level of a function of helping clients through technology work through complex problems. So that will led me to understanding that digital marketing is essential to solve that problem. And for me, it wasn't necessarily I want to work in digital marketing. It was more like, oh, digital marketing is a way to solve that problem. I need to learn more about digital marketing.
I love that. So what did that journey look like?
So that journey was, as you alluded to, being a COVID grad. During quarantine, I spent many hours a day LinkedIn, only LinkedIn. For all of the job hunters here, LinkedIn is the most powerful tool to finding a job. I had calls with recruiters almost every single day, multiple times a day. I shot cold calls, emails to every single agency brand that was hiring for any sort of entry-level marketing position that I just wanted to get my foot in the door. It didn't really matter where. And at that point in my life, no one was really hiring. So like, it was just constant nonstop grinding to try to get the right fit, or at that point, any fit. And it didn't work, to be honest. I spent a few months going back and forth, I think until the end of August, and I still couldn't get anything. I had some interviews at different agencies, but I didn't feel that they were really looking to hire. They kind of just had to say that they were looking to hire. I mean, it makes sense. A lot of them were losing budget because of the pandemic and whatnot. So that's what led me to ended up getting a role in e-commerce at a textile company through a familial connection, which I worked at for a few months. And pretty much from the beginning of that process, I realized that it's not exactly what I wanted to do at all. And then I was kind of deciphering what exactly my next steps would be while I had a job already, which is a very interesting concept of like trying to do good work for the company you're working for, but also wanting to be look outwards to a new adventure.
Was there anything in particular that stood out to you as really helpful? Did anyone reach out with some sort of advice or help steer you in the right direction? Or was this just you were playing the numbers game, cycling through every open job that you can find?
I think both of those are correct. The best advice I ever got was to reach out to alumni from my college that are in 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line that are working in some sort of the same industry you're working at, and just ask them to hop on the phone to discuss what their experience is, how they grew from their point based on the education that they got. Not necessarily asking them for a job, but more learning from them, because it gives you such a different perspective and a much more nuanced way of thinking about how recent grads can enter the workforce with a certain level of education, but also some sort of advantage.
I will say that I completely support that. That is exactly how I ended up where I ended up. I had a similar type of experience where in my first job out of college, with this vendor we were working with, like pulled me aside and was like, what's your future look like, whatever. And I was like, I don't really know. Like, I'm kind of an intern right now. And she introduced me to somebody else who introduced me to somebody else. It was a very, like the important point of what you just said is that you weren't going to these people and asking them for a job. You were going to them specifically to learn and to get their insight. And people love talking about themselves. So if you just start asking people, hey, what do you like? What do you not like? Can you tell me a little bit about your company? And then you end the conversation with, is there somebody else that has XYZ type of experience that you might be willing to introduce me to? And you continue down that rabbit hole. I remember at my first job, like I used to go out and like take lunch breaks and sit in my beat up Mitsubishi Galant and like call these people that were like complete strangers. And it was really uncomfortable, but I learned a lot. And eventually somebody was hiring. Like eventually I got to somebody who was like, you know, you should interview at my company. We're actually hiring a role that you might be interested in. And that was literally how I got my second job from there. So what you just said, I think, is brilliant. And I think everyone early in their career should take up that sort of like just aggressively trying to get more advice from people willing to talk about their experience. But okay, enough about that. So then you were saying it's also the numbers game aspect.
Yeah, it's for sure the numbers game aspect, just because of the circumstance I was working with, that there were just not so many roles. So it's important to be direct in who you want to work for and why, but also not to be despaired based on rejection. It happens a lot, and there's a certain level of enthusiasm and energy that's needed throughout the process. No matter how many times you get rejected, it is a numbers game. You have to send your resume. You have to have that same level of like, oh, maybe this one will be the right one. And that's difficult for some people. And I think that alludes to the grit and the determination to succeed that people need to kind of attribute to finding their first job.
Did you reach a point where you were having, like, where a good lead was coming through about a prospective job that you shied away from or turned down or because you thought that it wasn't going to be a good fit?
So I never turned down any lead. I tried to get 7 jobs so I can pick which one I wanted. Ended up being I only got one, but I wanted to be in the situation where I would be able to decide which one I would be able to pursue.
So now now I know that there was no competition, is what you're saying.
Oh, in regards to adventure? No, adventure, we haven't got to my adventure saga yet. We're getting there.
Oh, okay. So this is still very early in the process. Okay, yes. So then let's skip to that. And give me a timeline. Like, how many months are you going through this process of, like, aggressively trying to find a job and persevering through what is, I mean, I've been there. Like, I know that it's a very dark, depressing, tiresome experience. How long did that take place?
So it started in January of my senior year until end of August. So wow. Close to 9 months.
Okay. Yeah, that's a long time. I think the longest I had ever gone through that was probably 2 months, and it was driving me absolutely insane. So as far as like tips for how you stayed positive, motivated to persevere through all of that.
I think the biggest tip I had that someone gave me earlier on in the process is understanding that everyone is going through the same types of process you are. But there's a certain level of determination and grit that's needed for you to get to the end goal. That if I would give up, they would be like, okay, like I'm just not going to work. I'm going to be a hobo on the side of the street. Like there's no alternative. When you end up thinking like, okay, like this needs to happen. Okay, let's get this done. So I think that there's a certain level of determination that was needed. And I think the hardest part for me was showing up to every single new day or new job opportunity with that same level of enthusiasm and energy. That was a harder part than giving up per se. It's kind of, it's very easy to be in it in a passive way, because that's what most of my friends were doing for a long time. They didn't want to give up because there's no really alternative to give up, but it's that level of energy that wasn't constant throughout. And I'll be honest, there were times where my energy was not as good because of I was annoyed and it was frustrating and difficult, but I think I tried my best to like give each opportunity a new fresh slate.
So, I mean, I would sort of push back and say, like, there are alternatives. It's not as if the only options were, like, get your dream job, your dream first job or second job, whatever we're talking about here, in the digital marketing space, or be a hobo on the side of the road. There's, like, that level in the middle that's settling for something else and sort of giving up that dream.
Right.
Or was that just not available? Like, did you just exclude that as an option altogether?
I think, to be honest, I didn't. I guess, yeah, I didn't really think about getting a job that I wasn't as happy in. Because I was.
You didn't give yourself that middle option. You didn't allow yourself the opportunity to think about settling.
Right. I also think that I had a pretty broad types of any sort of sales or marketing roles that had any sort of technology and advancement that would lead to something along the lines of digital marketing or advertising or sales. Like, I mean, it was a very general category. So if it fit any of those boxes, then I would be able to, I would kind of pursue that. So, but I guess the other options for me was more go to graduate school. or take a year off and figure it out. So that I ended up during the heat of the job process, I actually, the undergrad university which I went to was offering a 50% off scholarship to their kind of new and up and coming graduate school, which if you had a certain GPA in the undergrad concentration, you're able to qualify for the scholarship. And I actually enrolled in that starting in June. And that, I think, was a very very good way for me to coexist with this job process, to give me a new area of things to talk about on interviews and even give me more expertise on the industry as a whole.
So how did you battle then the energy piece? And how did you internalize all that to say, okay, it's on me to stay motivated, and I'm not going to just sit here and say, woe is me, how bad luck I have for graduating in a pandemic, and this, you know, the world is against me. How did you kind of take ownership of your own future and stay motivated and energized to be able to pursue your goal?
Yes, I think that's a great question. And I think about that question all the time. And I think a large part of it attributes to the fact that at that point during the pandemic, I moved back to my house and my father was working from home. And the tenacity and the grit that he showcased in his own business was no way for me to like give up watching him grind 15, 18 hour days of him working in his industry. My father works in the janitorial industrial supply business. So as you can imagine, COVID was a pretty crazy time for him. So the types of energy and passion that he was pursuing, like there was no giving up. It wasn't an option. You surround yourself around people that are working hard, it makes you want to work 10 times harder.
Right. So I guess the practical takeaway from that is like, in order to stay with the right attitude, is to surround yourself, whether with people physically or whether it's the content you consume or whatever, to be able to realize other people grinding it out and dealing and taking ownership of their own experience.
Exactly.
I hear that. Okay, interesting. So now fast forward to the to when you actually found us and what that looked like.
Well, my saga with Adventure Media began when an older role model who I met using the same strategy which I introduced, he was a few years older than me, graduated from the same college in undergrad, and he works at an agency, a WPP agency in New York City, a big marketing agency. And he told me there's this guy who has podcasts with a beanie on for Google Ad, you should listen to him. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll listen to him. That introduced me to Isaac Radansky and the Adventure Media brand story and beyond. I then went on a rabbit hole of listening to all of Isaac's podcasts, to all of Isaac's Udemy courses, and then I got introduced into this podcast, as well as buying Patrick's book and consuming every single letter of the book many times, and then reaching out to every single employee on LinkedIn, which now are my colleagues, and not one of them responded to me, not one. Besides for a fake employee that attributes her success in business to Isaac, so she includes herself as an employee at the business. So that's where I began to understand, wow, these people are special and different. I need to work here.
There's so much of that I want to unpack. I guess starting with the reaching out. So at what point in that, what it was like, did you realize like, oh, I could go work for them. That's what I'm going to try and do.
Oh, it's from the beginning. I saw it right away. These people are special. Like I need to work for them. There was no like, oh, if they're hiring, it's like, I'm going to make them hire.
So you started reaching out on LinkedIn to just anyone that listed Adventure Media as their job. And that, but you connected, because I actually remember, because you have, okay, this is another like kind of ironic twist of this story. You have the same last name as one of our like more senior team members. And you have like a loose, first of all, it's like a very loose relationship. Like what's your, it's like.
Like third cousins somewhere like down the line.
So you guys have the same last name, even though you actually pronounce it differently, which is fascinating. But when you reached out, I just like assumed that you were, I don't know, like her cousin or brother-in-law or whatever. I don't know. Did you like send messages to everybody?
So what I did is I used to watch during this time of searching for jobs, I used to watch all these courses of people who helped in the recruiting process. So with LinkedIn, when you send a connection, you can actually add a note, which is like a limited amount of character space. So I wrote like, "Hi, Andrew. I'm looking to learn more about the business, and I heard you guys are hiring." These types of, it's like a 25 or 50 character limit. It's very small. So I try to get that as many connections as possible. And then when I'm connected, I can then chat them. That was like kind of the process.
And no one responded, except one person who doesn't actually work for the company, but claims that they work for the company on their LinkedIn.
Exactly. Some of the people accepted the connection, but they never responded to my follow-up message because I followed up with everyone.
My God, everyone's so rude. I will say, so look, total transparency, I get a lot of LinkedIn messages, and like that's not something that I like. I'm sure that tip is something that a lot of people talk about. I don't find that effective. Like, a lot of people reach out, not so much for job opportunities, more so that they're like trying to sell me something. My LinkedIn inbox every single day is filled with this, you know, bullshit ad platform, and we want to get a demo, and we want to help your business grow. And it's so annoying, all these cold emails or cold LinkedIn messages. It's the absolute worst thing. So I personally have like a vendetta against any like kind of cold message that comes through LinkedIn, for better or worse. So I apologize on behalf of the rest of the team here, but you ultimately found a different way to get past that, which was what?
Well, I haven't told anyone this, but this was kind of my secret way that I found on the employee list. One of them was Freddie Leifer. Now that's Isaac's wife. Now I know that's Isaac's wife. That her last name was similar to a friend of mine. So I asked him.
Right. She's married to Isaac. But
she's married to Isaac Wodansky. Okay. So I had a friend who had his last name is Leifer. So I asked him, "Oh, is she your cousin? Do you know her?" He then said, "Oh, no, I don't, but I actually know Isaac's first cousin who used to work here." So he then got me in touch with Isaac's first cousin, who actually lives in Israel now, who used to work with you guys, and then he got me in touch with Isaac.
Incredible. So you finagled your way. Anyone at the company was not like answering their LinkedIn, so you finagled your way into the inbox of the actual CEO.
Essentially, yes.
And what'd you say? What'd you do?
At that point in time, by the time I finally got there, it was very short after, I think, Isaac put out his LinkedIn post, which was like his famous post of like, "Venture Media is looking to hire 8 new whatever account managers over the next quarter." Like, you guys were in the really zone of like really hiring. And he like said, if anyone wants to send over the resume, use the different skill platforms we use, or if they want to be different, like they can always send over a note, because I'm always in the office or something along those lines. So that was right around New Year's. That was like, I remember when Isaac posted that. So Isaac posted on his LinkedIn that you guys are looking to hire. So at that point, I was able to send in my resume using the skill set, and then through the Adventures website, and then I got my first interview. And Isaac kind of, it was a short interview. Isaac kind of just like asked me some questions about my background and what I was interested in and those types of very simple questions. I think, I don't remember if you were on the first call or not, Patrick. I actually don't think you were. I think it was just me and Isaac. And then he then followed up with the assignment that I was supposed to do. And then I was supposed to present it in a few weeks when I was able to do this project. So I had a very good first meeting with Isaac. I told him like all about how I'm obsessed with the company and I love the company. And he was very nice and flattering. And we had a very short, good conversation. And then when I got the email of the presentation that I needed to kind of prepare, I got a little nervous in the sense of like, wow, like this works harder than what I know now. Like, I'm not saying I'm not going to give up, but like, this is not easy. I remember like trying my best. Like, I spent probably a few weeks like opening up the same types of presentations by Googling different things and watching YouTube videos and trying to like present the best strategy.
So for the sake of anyone listening that doesn't know what you're talking about, that's our interview process works with like a preliminary interview and then a second round where we'll ask the candidate to prepare essentially like a research project. And there's a couple different categories that we have depending on what the person's previous skill set looks like. It deters a lot of people that aren't actually super interested in the job, but it's just a much more effective way of conveying what the job's going to look like so they know it's a good fit for them, and also for us to sorry, Danielle's going to kill me, my Slack. I didn't have my Slack turned off. And to essentially just have a more productive conversation than just asking people about their strengths and weaknesses. But so you got this email and you got the project and it was overwhelming at first, but you ended up doing a really good job, if I do remember.
It's funny. I remember spending a long time on it. And when I got on to the presentation, I remember it was a very different type of call than I expected. That I thought it would be like, I need to wow these people with the types of work that I kind of did over the last few weeks. And it was a lot more interactive in the sense that Patrick and Isaac were asking me questions based on my thought process and, oh, I got things wrong, but it wasn't necessarily like a yes or no correct answer. It was more just understanding the way I look at different difficult problem-solving skills as well as using specific pieces of information to try to like solve for different problems, which was really cool. But honestly, I don't think that's what got me this job. I think that there was another type of move that I pulled, kind of an antic of like wanting to do something bold and crazy, which definitely helped me out. Yeah, exactly. So what happened was that when I alluded to that post that Isaac said, he wrote, if a regular email sending your resume isn't enough, then a handwritten note would be good. Or I'm always in the office. So I've been following, just for a little background, I've been following the company now for a few months. I was stalking Isaac's LinkedIn post, commenting, liking on everything. I kind of understood where this guy's coming from. He's not very simple in the sense of like the way he thinks about people and different problems. So like, I wanted to be bold. I want Isaac Radansky to remember this Andrew guy, like, wow, he's special. He's different, but like, he's not just a regular resume. So I then called my father and I tried to figure out like, what would be a way to like stick out, to be bold in the industry, getting the job. So my dad said a few years ago, he's heard of someone, he never did it, that it was an old thing in the 80s and the 90s and the more like grimy types of jewelry business in New York City that people used to send chocolate foots as a cliche to like one foot's in the door, like hopefully the next one's coming in after. And I was like, oh my God, that's a great idea. Let's try to find a chocolate foot that can get to the office before the interview. So I remember exactly where I was. I was at the lunch with my wife. And like I said, hold on, one second, I need to get this done. I spent like close to 35 minutes calling 7 different chocolate vendors that would be able to get a kosher chocolate foot over a holiday weekend to adventure before our meeting on Tuesday. I needed it there because I wanted it to be there before our call. That there's a certain level of like, wow, like this guy can solve problems and do crazy things to get things done even amongst different challenges. So I ended up finding this one vendor in California that was able to get it. I paid expedited shipping like $45 extra to get it, make sure that it was there before the interview. And it arrived before the interview.
So I get a text from Isaac. Honestly, I got to go back and find it. And he's like, the mail just came. Someone sent us a chocolate foot. And I was like, oh my God, what sort of serial killer are we about to hire? I honestly, I never even thought about like all the different logistics. I just assumed that it was like a company that does this, that you just like stumbled upon, found, made one phone call and ordered it. I didn't realize that it would be like that difficult to find it and have and the fact that you wanted it to be kosher is hilarious. So this thing shows up and so that was before the interview though, right? Or was it after?
It came the day before.
It came the day before, right. So, because I hadn't met you yet. And I was like, oh my God. Because it was like weird for me. Because we've had some of these types of things before. I'm not going to give some specific examples. But many of them have not worked out. And so this was bizarre, to say the least. But it certainly caught our attention. And Isaac loved it. He was obviously obsessed. I was a little bit more concerned for my personal health and safety. But we had the interview, I guess, the next day, and that was when I realized, like, oh, this guy's actually a normal person. He's just super excited and really, really wanted to make an impact. And I will say, you would have got the job, chocolate foot or no chocolate foot. But the other part of it is, so you came here, and, like, we totally forgot, like, we put it in the fridge, and we, like, kind of forgot about it. And, like, weeks had gone by, and it was like, oh, the chocolate foot's, like, just still hanging out in the refrigerator in the back. And I think Ronnie ate it at one point, but... kind of disgusting looking. But what, like, on your side, where you just knew all in, like, that's the route, that's how I'm gonna stand out, like, no hesitation, no concerns, you went all in with it.
Yeah, I think the reason why I did that was because on a few of the different content pieces, when you guys kind of discussed not actually advertising and digital advertising, but more the way you treat employees and see the different balance of, like, that anyone can step up with a certain type of problem and also a way of doing things, and not being embarrassed to being like, oh, I don't know that. Can you help me? To a younger associate. And when I heard that, that was like the real light bulb of, like, wow, these people are, like, really special. And all the types of communication and understanding of, like, really how to, like, create real frameworks of growth for companies and being in a healthy working environment where that exists was like, I'll do anything to get there.
Well, you've done an excellent job. We hired you. It's been, and I will say, so, like, I've said this about, like, how we want to model future employees onboarding and, like, training and everything. And the idea we just keep coming back to is whatever Andrew did, we need to do that for more employees. We need to figure out exactly what he did and how he did it, because it worked better than we've ever had before, in terms of having somebody come in and be able to turn around and be doing great things on such a quick turnaround. It was truly remarkable. I mean, I think you came in on day one and you just sort of, like, got it. Like, not as if, like, got it in terms of, like, company culture and, like, what your role was supposed to be and how you would get to success. And you basically came in and you put your head down and you grinded it out. You know, one of the things that we tell everyone early on is, like, hey, listen, there's a lot of training and education, and that part of it's, like, boring and it sucks. You get to do the fun, cool, exciting stuff once you get all this stuff out of the way and you prove to us that you can, you know, be handed a lot of responsibilities. And you took that very seriously, and you were like, I'm going to, nights, weekends, whatever, like, I'm going to get all this stuff down pat, and I'm going to prove to you that I'm ahead of the game. And you did very quickly, and it was incredible. And we were very comfortable and excited to give you more responsibilities much earlier than we had anticipated, and it's been a huge success. You've been killing it. You've been doing a great job. You've been a model for future employees to come through these doors, and I'm really excited to see how you develop and what your future has in store for you, because it's been excellent. You've been a true asset to our company and to our culture. But do you have any other, like, larger thoughts about what that journey has looked like, and any other tips for whether it be people here or in a different type of company, a different role, on what has helped you get from zero to wherever you're at now?
Overall, I think the most important part is finding something that you really like and you're really passionate about, and just roll with it. There's so much easier to go into work every day doing something that I actually enjoy. It's going to make me want to work five times harder and have much better outputs and much better success. When you're in a place where you're not happy, it's very hard to do that same level of consistent work. As I told Patrick and Isaac, that thank God, in relation to what Adventure Media has, every single person here is excited to help clients and excited for what they're doing. If they're not excited, you're not going to be able to do not only do good work, you're not going to be able to finish the amount of work that needs to get done. It's that sense of, like, making sure you're happy where you are so you can finish all the tasks and also do it efficiently and as successful as possible.
That's great advice. I totally stand by it. This has been great, Andrew. Thank you so much. last thing for you. Do you have any advice on where you might be? What would be your best place to hide a dead body?
Bing ads, maybe?
Incredible answer. All right. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. This has been How to Hide a Dead Body. We'll see you next week.